We'll have a chance to do that in a moment. But one other thing we're going to be praying for too, a bit of sort of church family news from our partnership of churches. Lots of us will know that we're part of a partnership of local churches in and around Enfield, seeking to reach our areas with the good news of Jesus. One of our partner churches is called Bushell Park Community Church. Patrick and Janice are there today. Patrick's preaching at Bushell Park Community Church. That is unrelated to the next piece of news I'm going to tell you, which is that they explained to their church family last week that the pastor there, Stewie Chaplin, has been called to serve God in a church in Bath. So he'll soon be moving in February with his family over to Bath. So that's a big piece of news for the Bushell Park church family, and we'll be praying for them in a moment too. Before we pray for any of those things, I'm going to invite Stefan to come up at this point. Stefan is getting baptised today. And he's going to... There you go. Look at that. There's lots of rounds of applause today, and that's good. There'll be more later as well once we get to the pool. But for now, we're going to hear Stefan's story of what Jesus has been doing in his life. Thank you, Stefan. Keep going.
My name is Stefan, and I'm 19 years old. And I'm getting baptized today.
Yeah.
So, disclaimer, I'm ill, so you guys just bear with me for a bit, yeah? I want to talk about my background, firstly. So, I grew up in a Christian household where my mom was a Christian from, like, 5 years old, 6 years old. And then my father came to Christ several years later. 2016 is when he was baptized. So then now the... Sorry. They're members of Yeni Yasham Church, the Turkish church in Manor House. Me, personally, I didn't... Although they were close to Christ, I personally wasn't. So I used to go to church and just hear the sermons, you know, Sunday school and whatnot, but it never really touched me like it should. So then a few years back, I started asking myself questions like, what is the meaning of everything? Like, what are we made for? And then I started digging down. And then that's when I came here to Silver Street Church and I met Luke. And then I started speaking to him, meeting with him on Tuesdays. And then we spoke about a lot of things. We studied the Bible. But one thing like that was very important that we spoke about, I asked him, what does it mean to be a Christian? Like, how can I come to Christ? And he told me something which was very challenging to hear. He said, I have to submit myself to God and that I have to accept that I'm a sinner. So that was challenging because I thought I had to cleanse myself before I come to him. And then it took like quite a while till like I got to the point where I actually accepted that I was a sinner. So last year, October, I went to a trip with the Yeni Yasham Church with my family. So during this trip, we spoke a lot about love. And then I was really like affected by the sermons. But then it was when we were singing a particular song where the lyrics went, repent, it is time now. And then at that moment, a lot of feelings came to me. So that's when I realized, oh, what is this? Like, what am I doing? Why haven't I come yet? And then that's when I understood what grace was. Like, it hit me. I had an image of Jesus getting tortured for me. And then I understood that what a perfect human person can do that. There's no human that would do that for you. He is God. So just the thought of him dying for me, and not just me, for everyone else, whoever believes in him, that we have eternal life, that really affected me. And that's when I could accept that, wow, I'm actually a sinner. Like, I don't have to cleanse myself. I just have to accept the fact that I'm a sinner, and then he can do the rest. So that's when I understood what it truly means to be a Christian. I understood that what happened, how he died for us, was a gift given by God that whatever's happened already happened. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is just follow him, give ourselves up to him. And that's when I decided to follow Jesus. Because throughout my life, I've seen, like, I used to worry about my future a lot. So, like, education, about what the future has for me. But that was all, it was pointless. Because I thought to myself, I have it now, but then when I pass away, what am I going to be left with? I can't take anything to the grave. So that's when I started looking for something more, like, permanent, that being Jesus. And that's the moment I found him last year at the church, church trip. Yeah, so that's basically my story, how I came to Christ, how I decided to follow him. I just want to thank everyone that's helped me along the way, to everyone that's prayed for me, my family, Luke, Dennis, Mestanabi, Emreabi, everyone. I want to thank you guys that you were with me on this journey. And lastly, if there is anyone that hasn't come to Christ yet, I truly encourage you to look for him so you can understand what true love is, because God is love. For he says, knock on the door and it'll be open for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Later on, we'll see him professing his faith in baptism. The young people will come back to join us for that. But right now, if you're above school year two, so if you're in school year three or above, you guys stay with us in the service. There are some sheets that... we're going to spend some time in prayer. Pratheep and Ajani, who are members here, are going to come and lead us in prayer.
Sorry, I'm going to read from Psalms 23:6 before I start. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for your love and your grace. We want to thank you for waking us up today and bringing us here in your presence so that we may be able to enjoy the goodness that comes with it. We praise you and thank you for the redemption that you have given us through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. For we are able to have a relationship with you through that, our Lord. We thank you, Father, for when we ask as your children, you provide. And we pray that whatever our will is, it may be in accordance with yours, O Father. We pray that we fix our hearts on you, Father, for anything that comes from it is good and will follow us for the rest of our lives, O Jesus. We praise you and recommit ourselves into your presence, O Father, and we pray that we are more zealous for you every day. We thank you, Father, for loving us, for it is love that we cannot experience otherwise. It is love that has saved us, that has brought us together, and that keeps us going every day. We praise you once again for all that you are doing and all that you are continually going to be doing in our lives, and we pray, Father, that we serve you accordingly. Father, we now take a moment of time to pray, Father, for the community that you have planted us in. We pray for the people around us. We pray for the believers and the non-believers. We pray for your strength and for your continued support. There are many in this community that do not know you, and we pray, Father, that we as a church are a beacon of your love so that they may experience you and all that you have to offer through us. We praise you for Nick and Tamzin's ministry within the Turkish community, O Lord, for you have set them up in a place, Father, that they may be able to show the grace that you have bestowed upon them. We pray for each and every member that comes to the classes. We pray, Father, that it may be a time that they not only learn English, O Lord, but learn of your love. We pray that you plant seeds of faith within their hearts and that you bless them. We pray for Nick and Tamzin that you equip them, Father, that they may continually do your work. Father God, we also pray now for Bush Hill Park Community Church, for it is a great season of change for them. We pray, Father, for the pastor that has been called elsewhere. We pray that you bless him and his works. We know, Father, that you have greater things in store for him and that you bless the church that he is going to. We also pray for the congregation there. We pray that you provide them with support and comfort and that you raise someone in his stead that will be able to do what you need them to do. We pray, O Lord, for the cafe ministry that Rob is taking charge of, O Lord. We pray, Father, for each person that steps into this building, that they may walk home with something different, that they feel a change, a tug on their hearts, that they may think of you and the love that they have been shown through the ministry, O Lord. We pray, Father, for the Bible study, O Lord. Although the nuggets of wisdom that they hear may be small, we pray that it grows into a great tree, bearing much fruit. We pray for the cafe, and we pray, Father, for everyone's personal evangelism today. We pray that each and every single one of us may represent what it is to be a true Christian, what it is to be someone who has a true relationship with you. We praise you and we glorify you for giving us the strength to do that, O Lord. We pray and thank you for allowing us to stand in the gap, to be able to be servants of Christ. We praise you and we glorify you for that. Thank you.
And Father, Lord, we pray for the world in this moment. We pray, Father, for all the Christians in this world, and especially our church family as we stand strong in our faith, Lord. Thank you for your guidance, your wisdom, your continuous support, and your continuous faithfulness in our lives, Lord, so that we may stand firm in our faith and we may confess and profess your love to the people around us, Lord, whether it be in our workplaces, our schools, or even in the grocery store. Help us, Lord God, wherever we go, to be a good ambassador of Christ, to carry you and to run this race of faith, Lord, with grace and courage and wisdom. Help us and mold us to be more like you each day, Lord. And we pray for the persecuted Christians around the world, Lord. We know that you are with them. We know that you are protecting them, Lord. And all the Christians that are on missions around the world, we thank you, God, for the courage that you have given them. We thank you, God, for the calling that you have given them. We thank you, God, for they are equipped with all the wisdom and revelation that they need, for you are with them, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that your message is being spread wide, and it is so needed in this time, Lord. So help us to rise, help raise more and more of your children to go into the battlefield and to profess your faith and to confess of the gospel, to bring the good news to this world that so deeply needs it right now, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, God, for Stefan's baptism today, Lord. It's such a beautiful step that we see him take today. Thank you for the testimony that he shared. Thank you, God, that when he sought you, you found him, Lord. When he knocked on your door, you answered, because you are so faithful, and we see that every day. We thank you, God, for the courage that you have given him and for speaking into his heart when he needed to hear it. Lord, you know how exactly to speak into us in a way that we can hear, for you know us. You know the number of hairs on our head, Lord. You know us so intimately. So we thank you, Father, for knowing Stefan, and thank you, Father, for this step that he's taking. Father, we pray over him and his future and his calling and his ministry, Lord. We pray, God, that you will guide him each and every day going forward to step into the person, into the leader, into the minister that you've called him to be, Lord. Thank you, Father, that he will draw near to you each and every day. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling him with your word, with your revelation each and every day as he grows in and walks with you daily, Lord. And Father, lastly, we pray for Dana and her marriage. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful and joyous occasion, Lord, that she is stepping into. Father, we pray that you give her safe travels, journey mercies, Lord, that you will be with her and her partner in the U.S. We pray over the wedding day. We pray that everything will go perfectly according to your plan, Lord. May every single person that comes into that marriage witness your grace and your love as they join in union with you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you will give them the wisdom they need to step into this next new chapter in their life, Lord. Thank you that you will shower them with love, with blessings, and help them to navigate all the emotions of the day, the emotions of the family. You will bless them with such a peace that surpasses their understanding. We're sure of it. So we thank you, Lord, for that. And we thank you, God, once again for the opportunity for us to be able to pray together and to spend time just learning to love you more and more, Lord Jesus. So we give this service into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. As Stefan mentioned, that he has been influenced not only by Silver Street Church, but also by Yeni Yashim Church, where he grew up through the Turkish Church. It's great to have so many visitors from the Turkish Church today. We're going to sing a song in Turkish to welcome you. So Nick and Gül from the Turkish Church are going to lead us in that. And there is an English translation which follows. But first, let's just enjoy the Turkish song. And
we will sing the English afterwards, so pay okay. attention to the tune. And feel free to join in with the Turkish as well. Just kind of sing what you see. It should be close enough. Canım köyle kardeşler buyurun. Inda umutsuzdu perişandı. Beni sevdin satın aldım Rabbim sensin, Rabbim sensin. Beni sevdin satın aldım
Rabbim sensin, Rabbim sensin. Günah zincirin tek çözdün, özgür ettin, hayat verdin. Utancımı sen kaldırdın, Rabbim sensin, Rabbim sensin. Utancımı sen kaldırdın, Rabbim sensin, Rabbim sensin. Beni sana asker yazdın, Mesih sensin, komutanım. Önden giden paşam sensin, Rabbim sensin, Rabbim sensin. Önden giden paşam sensin, Rabbim sensin, Rabbim sensin. Lord, my soul was chained in slavery, lost without hope, destined for wrath. But you loved me and redeemed me, my Lord Jesus, King and Savior. But you loved me and redeemed me, my Lord Jesus, King and Savior. Now the chains of sin are broken, Lord, you freed and given life to me. And the shame of sin is lifted, my Lord Jesus, King and Savior. And the shame of sin is lifted, my Lord Jesus, King and Savior. Lord, you call me now to serve you, Jesus, Savior, King and Counselor. my guide who daily leads me, my Lord Jesus, King and Savior. Be my guide who daily leads me, my Lord Jesus, King and Savior. Be my guide who daily leads me, my Lord Jesus, King and Savior.
Hey, we're going to read from the Bible now before Luke comes to preach to us. So it's Exodus 27. In the Church Bible, it's page 85. I'm not sure about the Turkish Bible. Maybe someone can shout out when they find it in the Turkish Bible. But it's Exodus chapter 27, verses 1 to 19. What was that?
85. Page 85.
Build an altar of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It is to be square, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. Make a horn at each of the 4 corners, so that the horns and the altar are of one piece, and overlay the altar with bronze. Make all its utensils of bronze, its pots to remove the ashes, and its shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. Make a grating for it, a bronze network, and make a bronze ring at each of the 4 corners of the network. Put it under the ledge of the altar so that it is halfway up the altar. Make poles of acacia wood for the altar and overlay them with bronze. The poles are to be inserted into the rings, so they will be on 2 sides of the altar when it is carried. Make the altar hollow out of boards. It is to be made just as you were shown on the mountain. Make a courtyard for the tabernacle. The south side shall be 100 cubits long and is to have curtains of finely twisted linen with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The north side shall also be 100 cubits long, and is to have curtains with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The west end of the courtyard shall be 50 cubits wide, and have curtains with 10 posts and 10 bases. On the east end, towards the sunrise, the courtyard shall also be 50 cubits wide. Curtains 15 cubits long are to be on one side of the entrance, with 3 posts and 3 bases. And curtains 15 cubits long are to be on the other side, with 3 posts and 3 bases. For the entrance to the courtyard, provide a curtain 20 cubits long of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer, with 4 posts and 4 bases. All the posts around the courtyard are to have silver bands and hooks and bronze bases. The courtyard shall be 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide, with curtains of finely twisted linen 5 cubits high, and with bronze bases. All the other articles used in the service of the tabernacle, whatever their function, including all the tent pegs for it and those for the courtyard, are to be of bronze.
Thank you, Phil. Please keep that open in front of you, and let's pray as we come to God's word. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is living and active and it speaks to us. Please would you help us to understand everything that we've just read, that we might be drawn near to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if this is your first time with us today, then you're joining us in the middle of a talk series called Whose House? So in this part of Exodus, Exodus chapter 27, in fact, Exodus 25 to 31, in this part of Exodus, God is giving his people instructions for how to build the tabernacle, the house where he would live amongst his people. So it's all about the presence of God. This whole section is about the presence of God. The whole point of the tabernacle is God providing a way where he could live amongst his people. And last week we began to see what the design of the tabernacle was. In fact, we're even told which direction it sits in. So here's our compass, north, south, east, and west. I have got that the right way around, haven't I? Yes, north, south, east, and west. And the tabernacle itself is something like this. It sits in this direction. And it is a tent, which is separated out into different sections. So this section here is called the most holy place. This is a square which is right in the presence of God. Of course, it's true to say that God is everywhere all the time, but the most holy place was the place in the tabernacle where God, especially in a special way, was present among his people. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And above the Ark of the Covenant, God would come and meet with his people. So this is the most holy place. This part here is the holy place. So not quite in the direct presence of God, but really nearby. And so the most holy place, no one could go in except the high priest, once a year and after lots of sacrifice. And even the holy place was only open to the priests. As we saw last week, there were layers of separation. Do you remember the curtains that stood in the tabernacle? The whole tabernacle was made out of curtains, layer upon layer of protection. But then there was a curtain. Do you remember this one here between the most holy place and the holy place? Do you remember what was on that curtain? What was woven into the curtain?
Cherubim,
right? There were these angelic heavenly creatures on this curtain. There was a second curtain between the holy place and the outside world. And the point is very clear. This is a restricted area. You can't come close because God is a majestic king. He is a most holy God, and we are not. And so there are layers of protection. You can't come close. That's where we got to last week. Today, we've got a new addition to the tabernacle. What is it? Verse 1. Take a look at chapter 27, verse 1. What have we got? It's in your Bibles. Chapter 27, verse 1. What is it that we've got? An altar. What shape is this altar?
Square.
It's a square. Okay, so here we go. Here's our square altar. It's sat outside here. What's it made of? So we've got, if you remember, all of these materials that the Israelites had gathered to build the tabernacle. Which ones are we going to need, youngsters?
Bronze.
Yes, and what else? Wood. Thank you. So it's made of wood and then covered in bronze. And what is this altar for? Well, an altar is a place where you might bring an offering. What kind of offering is brought to this altar? Well, we get a clue from the way that it's designed. When I go to a garden centre, which isn't often, but when I go to a garden centre, do you know what my favourite place in the garden centre is? I bet you can guess.
Barbecue.
The barbecues, yeah. And I can spend quite a while looking at those barbecues, which I would never be able to afford, but they're just cool. And even before those barbecues have been used, even when they're brand new, you can tell what they're going to be used for. Because you can see, oh yeah, here's where the ashes will go, and so we can kind of get rid of them easily. And those big prongs, they look like they're to, you know, do a rotisserie chicken or something. So you get an idea of what this barbecue is going to be used for. And in a similar way, the design of the altar shows us what it's going to be used for. So take a look at verse 3. Can you see? We've got pots made of bronze to remove the ashes. Okay, so there's something to do with ashes. At the end of the verse, there's also fire pans. Okay, so this altar has something to do with fire, burning things. Okay, we've also got sprinkling bowls there in verse 3, so something's going to be sprinkled. And meat forks. Okay, so it's not a vegetarian kind of altar then. These are animals that are going to be involved in this. And so it seems pretty clear from the design that this altar is going to be a place to bring animal sacrifices, animal offerings that are going to be killed and then burned. So this is a place of bloodshed. We're going to put a B for blood. Now, at this point, we're not really told any more about what that offering is going to do. We'll come back to that later. As well as the altar, though, we've got another part of the tabernacle. In verse 9, what have we got in verse 9? It's still in your Bibles. Verse 9, have a look down. Verse 9, a courtyard. Thank you, Jim. Someone's with me. A courtyard, okay? A courtyard for the tabernacle. And we're also told the dimensions for this courtyard. So we've got the south side. How long is the south side? 100 cubits. That's about 45 meters. The north side? Well, yeah, the same. Again, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Because this is a rectangle. What about the west side? 50 cubits, about half as long, and the east side obviously has to be 50 cubits as well. What materials are used in the making of the perimeter? What have we got? Do you want a verse number? Verse 9? Verse 10? Thank you. Finely twisted linen. And we've also got bronze for the posts and also silver for the clips. And so you get this idea of what this courtyard looks like. It's like the boundary of the tabernacle, the perimeter fence, a kind of fence of screens with poles in bronze bases, all the way around the perimeter. Except actually, it's not, is it? Did you notice when we were reading that one of the sides is different? Did you notice that? Did anyone notice which side is different? Shout it out.
East.
East, thank you. Is everyone asleep today? Should we put... How hot is it in here? Should we open some windows? In fact, Lisa, would you mind just opening those doors? And could we open this door as well? Thank you. I was told once in training that it is your responsibility to make sure that everyone is with you. Do whatever it takes, okay? Now, I do have a bottle of water here. So if we're going to need a splash zone, we're going to need a splash zone. But hopefully you can stay with me. So this courtyard is all the way around, except for on the east side. Did you notice the difference? Verse 12, the west end of the courtyard shall be 50 cubits wide, and it's got 10 posts and 10 bases. So that's just a straight wall. But look at the difference on the east side. I know it's not very interesting, but I promise you this is really exciting. So stick with me, okay? Verse 13, on the east end towards the sunrise, it's still 50 cubits wide, but verse 14, there are to be curtains 15 cubits long on each side of an entrance, and the entrance is to be different. Look at verse 16, can you see? It's not just linen, it's actually like this curtain. It's made up of linen, but also the blue and the purple and the red yarns. It's a special curtain, 20 cubits long, across the entrance to the courtyard. Are you with me so far? Yeah. We've got an entrance to the courtyard. Brilliant. Now, we're specifically told in verse 13 that this entrance to the courtyard is to the east. We're specifically told that the entrance to the courtyard is towards the sunrise on the east. Why are we told that? Why does that matter? It's because it's an echo of Eden. Do you remember when God made the world? He placed Adam and Eve in a Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden was a wonderful place where Adam and Eve were in the direct presence of God. We read about them walking in the garden with the Lord. Can you imagine that? We read that they were naked, but they had no shame. There were literally no barriers between them and God. They lived in God's presence in this place of light and life and joy, and everything was perfect and brilliant. But it didn't last long. We know the sad story. Instead of being content to enjoy the presence of God, instead, Adam and Eve wanted to be God. They wanted to decide for themselves what is good and what is bad, and so they reached out and they took that thing that God said was out of bounds. And ever since then, sin had entered the world, and so ever since then, all human beings are just like Adam and Eve, including Stefan. So Stefan's going to come and join me. Stefan said earlier on, he admitted that he is a sinner. And so I'm going to give you this shirt here. Stefan's going to be our example of humanity. Stefan said that he is a sinner who needs a saviour. Now, before Adam and Eve sinned, it was as if they were wearing a wonderfully pure white shirt. There was nothing wrong about them. They were holy. They were pure, without spot and without blemish, which is why they could live together with God in the presence of God. Nothing, there was no barrier between them and God. But then they sinned. And ever since Adam and Eve sinned, all human beings have been the same. So all of us are like this. All of us, like Adam and Eve, instead of enjoying the presence of God, instead we chase after other things to give us the joy that only God can give. That's what the Bible calls idolatry. Idolatry is when we worship things that are not God, when we value something or someone more than we love God. Like Adam and Eve, all of us, instead of being content with the good gifts that God has given us, instead we want to decide what's good and what's bad. And so we reach out and we take that which God says is out of bounds. It's what the Bible calls greed. I'll put greed on your belly.
No.
Greed might be that we reach out for something that God says is out of bounds, like sex outside of marriage, or grabbing onto money to be used only for myself, or perhaps wanting too much of a good thing like food or like drink is greed. And instead of living the life that God has made us to live, all of us actually want to make a life for ourselves, a life where we are at the center of things. It's what the Bible calls selfishness. Let me put selfishness up here. And selfishness leads to all sorts of other sins as well. Things like anger and unkindness and racism and laziness, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Do you see any of this in yourself? Can you see even a hint of any of this kind of sin in you? Of course we can. We might not be the worst people in the world, but all of us are sinners. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, all of us are also sinners. That perfect holiness has been ruined. And you know the really sad thing is that as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, it put barriers up between us and God. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they realized that they were naked and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. And when the Lord came to walk with them in the garden, they were hiding away from him, barriers. And as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, God kicked them out of the garden. God said, you can't be here anymore in this place of light and life and joy, the place of my presence. I am holy and you are not. So you've got to go over there. You've got to go far away from me. You cannot live with me anymore. And the Lord kicked them out of Eden. And do you know which way he kicked them out of Eden? Do you know which way they kicked them out of Eden? He kicked them to the east. And then he put a barrier up on the east side of Eden. Do you know what that barrier was? We read about it in Genesis chapter 3. Can you see what it is? It is on the east side of the Garden of Eden, cherubim, just like in the tabernacle, cherubim on the east side as a barrier saying, you cannot come near, guarding the way to the tree of life. Because of your sin, you are far away from my life-giving presence. Can you see how this is mirrored in the tabernacle? Now, in God's kindness, he wasn't finished. He still spoke to Adam and Eve. He still wanted to have a relationship with them. But you can't live with me anymore because you are sinful and I am holy. That cannot mix. There is a barrier between us. And we have the same thing in the tabernacle. God is a holy God. The sinner cannot come close. And so there are barriers. In fact, there are three curtains now. We've got the curtain here with the cherubim on it. We've got another curtain outside the most holy place. And the third curtain on the outside of the courtyard. Except for this curtain. And this is where it gets really exciting. This curtain is different. Do you notice how this curtain, verse 16... is described as an entrance to the courtyard. And not just for the Israelites, not just for the priests, I mean. The priests could go in here already. And if you were an ordinary Israelite, you were not allowed in the holy place. You were not allowed in the most holy place, but you were allowed in the courtyard. And so do you see why we're told that this entrance is to the east? Because it is a mirror, it is an echo of the Garden of Eden, but it's not telling you the same thing. This is an echo of Eden, but it is the next stage in the story. The tabernacle is actually an invitation back into the presence of God, reversing the flow. At Eden, you had to get out and stay out because of your sin. But here at the tabernacle, I'm inviting you to come back in. Do you see how the design of the tabernacle is purposefully, we're told it's on the east, it's purposefully designed to show us that the tabernacle is a step on the way to reversing the effects of sin. It's an invitation to come back into the presence of God. So, Stefan, you can come. Wait, though. Because how is that possible? God is still holy, and you're still sinful. How is it possible to invite you back into the presence of God? Well, that's why we've got the altar. This is where the altar comes in. Now, earlier on, we were told that the altar is something to do with animals being killed and burned, but we weren't told anymore. But you know, that becomes clear in the very next book of the Bible. As soon as the tabernacle has been finished, is up and going, the very next book is Leviticus. And Leviticus chapter 1, it becomes clear that the animals that were burnt on this very altar were burnt as a substitute, a blood substitute for sins. In fact, that was when you could come into the courtyard. This courtyard's not massive. People didn't just go there to hang out. But the time when the Israelites could come into the courtyard, Leviticus chapter 1, was when they were bringing with them an animal. When they were bringing with them an animal in their place. And in Leviticus chapter 1, we're told that they were to come to the entrance of the tent of meeting, bringing their animal. They were to place their hands on the head of that animal and they were to kill it. That seems pretty brutal. But actually, it's so kind. because the Lord makes it clear that the penalty for all of this sin is death. Because we have rejected our God of life, we deserve to get what we've asked for and to be far away from the life-giving, favorable presence of God forever. Do you know, in hell, the presence of Jesus will be torture. That's what we deserve for all of our sin and our selfishness and our greed and our idolatry, all the wrong things that we have done. And the only way to pay for that sin is for someone to die. Blood must be shed. And so God had provided a way. Isn't he kind to provide a way for sinful people to draw near without them being killed? And the way was to provide a substitute, an animal. What was happening as the Israelites came into the presence of God and as they brought that animal, and as they laid their hands on that animal, it was as if their sin was transferring onto this animal. And so now the animal takes the place of the Israelite, and God accepts that as a substitute. So when this animal dies, it's as if that sin has been dealt with. It's as if that sin has been covered over. It's as if there is nothing more to see, and so God can accept this as a holy person in his sight. They are restored back towards the presence of God. Isn't it great? An amazing thing. Except, even though they were saved through this blood sacrifice, even though they were forgiven for their sins, still not quite right. Because even after that, they're only allowed through one curtain. Even after the sacrifice, they can't come in through this one, and they definitely can't come in through this one. They're not actually in the presence of God. And their sin hasn't actually been forgiven, hasn't actually been removed. They've still got a guilty conscience. They're still unable to change. They still cannot come very close. And actually, after the next few days, or maybe a few minutes, those same things come up again, and they have to come again with another animal and another animal and another animal. This was a temporary solution. It wasn't actually enough. It was good. It's better than Eden. You can come close, but actually it still wasn't the answer to coming back into the presence of God. God was going to make a new and a living way. A new and a living way. You know, the Bible actually says the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the cross. A new and a living way. And on the cross, Jesus was the perfect substitute. Fully man and fully God, and so fully able to actually pay for our sins. And here's how he did it. Just like that animal that the Israelites had to bring had to be a perfect and a pure animal, so it is that Jesus lived a perfect and a pure life. There was nothing like this on him. There was no sin of any kind. Instead of idolatry, he worshipped God wholeheartedly. Instead of greed, he never took anything that God said was out of bounds. Instead of selfishness, he lived a life of perfect love, always seeking the good of others. A beautiful, pure, and spotless life. He was someone who belonged in the presence of God because he indeed is God himself. But on the cross, here's what happened. Everyone who takes hold of Jesus, everyone who puts their faith in Jesus, just like they would put their hands on the head of the animal that was in their place, so if they put their hands on Jesus, if they take hold of Jesus, then what happens here is that their sin is transferred onto him. So give me your t-shirt. What happens is Jesus actually, and not just a picture of it, but Jesus actually and really takes on the sin of all who take hold of him by faith. Jesus at the cross was treated as if he was the biggest sinner in the world. as if he was full of idolatry and greed and selfishness, as if he had done all the evil things that Stefan has done. But because Stefan has taken hold of Jesus, those sins are transferred onto him as a substitute in his place. And so when Jesus died, he was paying the penalty for Stefan's sin and for everyone's sin who will trust in him. He was treated with the penalty that we deserve, that penalty of being far away from the favorable presence of God. My God, why have you forsaken me? He on the cross suffered the torture of hell and the ultimate penalty of dying, shed blood on the cross. And as Jesus shed his blood, he was paying for that sin. It was done and dusted. And as Jesus died on the cross, you know what happened to this curtain? This same curtain here. By now, it wasn't a tabernacle, it was a temple. But the temple was laid out in exactly the same way. In the temple, there was a curtain between the most holy place and the holy place. And on that curtain, there were cherubim guarding the way to the most holy place. You cannot come in. But on the cross, at the moment that Jesus died, that curtain, the one with the cherubim guarding the way to the way of life, on the cross, that curtain tore into two from top to bottom. Jesus made a new and a living way into the very presence of God. Isn't it great? Yeah. And this is a new and a living way which you and I can actually come in ourselves. Because not only did Jesus take on our sin and pay that price, but he gave us his righteousness. His perfect life is counted as ours. Now when Jesus looks at Stefan, when God looks at Stefan, he sees him as he sees Jesus, perfect and holy and spotless and pure. And so we can have confidence, as the writer to the Hebrews says. Isn't this an amazing verse? We have confidence to enter where? The most holy place. By the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened up for us through the curtain. That is his body. The way that we come in is through Jesus' death on the cross. The way has been opened up. Do you notice? Not just through this first curtain, that would have been good, but this is better. Not just through the second curtain, that would have been good, but this is better. Through the blood of Jesus, the way has been opened up into the most holy place, the very presence of God. At Eden, the message is, get out, stay out. At the tabernacle, you can come a bit closer. But through Jesus, we are invited to draw near to God. Come right on in. Is Jesus calling you today to come right on in? This is a new and a living way which is still open for everyone who, like Stefan, will take hold of Jesus and believe in him. Don't you long to have a relationship with God restored? Don't you long to be able to confidently and freely enjoy the presence of God? Don't you long for your sins not just to be sort of hidden, but actually removed? Don't you long for shame to be wiped away? Don't you long to be able to live with God forever? There is no other way. You cannot make your own way into the presence of God somehow. You cannot clean yourself up by trying your hardest to be good and to make yourself like Stefan thought he had to try and clean himself up so that God would accept him. That's not how it works. You have to receive this free gift of grace, the free gift that last year Stefan was able to understand and realize that all he had to do was to take hold of Jesus, to ask him to take on your sin and to pay for your sin, to ask him for the strength to live for him. And if you do, you will know the presence of God both now and forever. That is the new and the living way that has been opened up to us because Jesus is so much better than the tabernacle. And that's the invitation that he has for you today. Come right on in. Maybe there are some of us who need to do that for the first time. If you can hear Jesus calling your voice, calling you to come on in, there are some words now on the screen that you can make your own. And this is how you come on. This is how you take hold of Jesus, put your faith in Jesus and become one of his people, just like Stefan has. So if the Lord Jesus is calling you, make these words your own as I pray them now. Holy God, you have made me, you love me, you want me to be with you. Yet I confess I have not loved you as I should. I am selfish and sinful, and I deserve to be far away from your life and your light forever. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way. I believe you died in my place for my sins so that I can be forgiven and draw near. I believe you rose from the dead. I take hold of you now. Forgive my sins and help me to live for you. Amen. Before Stefan gets baptized, we're going to sing, "To God be the glory. He has made, he's opened up the life gate that all may go in." If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you would like to talk more, if you would like to trust in Jesus and put your faith in Jesus today, then there'll be a group of people at the front. I'd invite you to come forward as we sing this song. Come towards the front, take a seat here, and there'll be a team who will be very happy to pray with you as we seek to respond. There'll be a team who speak Turkish as well, who can help you to pray if you want to respond. So please do come forward if you would like to pray, or if you did pray that prayer. And also the young people are going to come in and join us for the baptism. But let's stand together and let's sing.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. We yield in his life and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that we may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father, through Jesus the Son. Give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father, through Jesus the Son. Give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done. And great our rejoicing, through Jesus the Son. Purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our gladness when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father, through Jesus the Son. Give him the glory, great things he has done.
Please do take a seat, or if you want to gather around a bit closer so you can see what's going on over here, then do so. One of the youngsters who just came forward was like, hey, what's going on? And that's a good question. What is going on when we baptize someone? Yeah. What's going on? Well, let me explain. In fact, I have already explained. That's what we've been talking about. What Stefan is doing today is not becoming a Christian, but describing what has already happened to him. So this water is not special. It is not holy water. It doesn't do anything special to Stefan. It just came out of the tap, and we warmed it up a little bit. But it doesn't do anything to him today. What he is doing is describing something that has already happened to him. And it's a bit like having a big bath. So I don't know how often Stefan washes himself. Hopefully he's had a shower recently. But it's a bit like having a spiritual bath. So what we're going to do as Stefan goes down into the water is we're going to hold this in front of him as a reminder. This is what Jesus has washed him from. He is someone who is a sinner, is selfish and idolater, someone full of greed. And yet, because he's taken hold of Jesus, Jesus has washed him clean from all of that sin through his death on the cross. And so as Stefan comes back up, he'll be in a white t-shirt as opposed to that. So it's not, this isn't happening right now. It's what Jesus has already done for Stefan. But what Stefan is doing today is he's standing up and he's wearing the t-shirt. And he's saying, I'm on team Jesus. Jesus has made me clean. I am unashamed to follow him as my Lord and Savior. He is putting on the t-shirt for Jesus. And so what we're going to do is we're going to get Stefan in. We're going to ask him some questions. Then we're going to baptize him. And as he comes back up out of the water, we're going to sing together our final song and then finish off with Psalm 130. But we've had lots of rounds of applause today. When he comes back out of the water, I think that's a good time for everyone to go wild. Okay? So in you get, Stefan.
Jump in.
Jump in. Oops, sorry. Okay. Yeah, sit down, cross your legs. And shuffle forward. Stefan's got a dodgy knee. So hopefully we won't bend it too much as we baptize him. Here we go, put this over the top of you as well. Okay, so Stefan, the Lord Jesus Christ calls all people to repent of their sins and put their trust in him. As an outward symbol of this repentance and faith, he commands his disciples to be baptized. You have given your testimony to the way that God has been at work in your life to reveal himself to you through Jesus and to bring you forgiveness and new life through the gospel. So we ask, do you turn away from sin and evil, asking God the Father for his forgiveness through the sacrificial death of Jesus?
I do.
Do you turn to Christ, seeking the Holy Spirit's help to take up your cross and follow him?
I do.
What is your faith?
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Stefan, on your profession of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we gladly baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't worry about going back to your seats, but let's stand and sing where we are as we praise God for all that he's done. Thank you.
see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. Forever stays, we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God. And on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise him.
A record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. Amen. Praise God. If you want to come and pray with anyone, there will be a team available here at the front for a few minutes. So do come and pray with someone today if you would like to do so. If the Lord is calling you to get baptized on another occasion, do come and chat to one of us, and we'd love to talk to you about that. Thank you so much for coming. Everyone is welcome to stay for lunch and coffee afterwards if you'd like to do so. Thank you for coming. Praise God for the forgiveness of his sins. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. been good. Getting a lot of our administrative stuff, trying to get all that out, put it all on the side.